When you study the Bible, there are many different things that you can look at and observe in Bible study. When I study the Word of God, I observe and look at the meaning of words. I look at the background and the setting that the passage is written in. I identify geographical locations and locate subjects and verbs to identify where sentences start and where they begin. But another interesting observation, as you study a passage of Scripture, is to identify different groups of people or Bible characters within a passage. This morning, in the passage that we read, Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, there are two different groups that are mentioned in the passage, and they are very distinct groups. One is the multitudes, and the other are the disciples. Two groups in this passage. Two groups that are different. I wonder how many of you like to be around large crowds. Raise your hand if you get a thrill of being around large crowds. You don't mind it. It's not a bother to you to be around large crowds, okay? How many of you would say, I like to stay away from large crowds? Okay. Now, if we were in Chicago, it probably would be flipped. There would be 95% that would say, I like being around large crowds, and maybe one or two that would say, I don't. Here in Mark chapter 3 and throughout the first six chapters of Mark, you will find that Jesus was constantly with the multitudes. There were people that were swarming to him. Wherever he went, there were multitudes that gathered. In fact, in Mark chapter 6, the Bible teaches us that he came away for a while because he had been with the multitudes and his disciples had been with the multitudes nonstop. There have been some great multitudes that have been gathered together in history. In 2015, in the Kentucky Derby, there were 170,000 people gathered together to watch horses run around the track for about 3 minutes. Unbelievable. Those of you that are football fans, over 115,000 fans gathered to watch Michigan play Notre Dame in 2013. 3.5 million attended the largest ever rock concert in 1994. 3.5 million people. The definition of a crowd helps explain why some of us shy away from them. A crowd is defined as a large number of people gathered together, typically in a disorganized or an unruly way. We may call them a multitude. We may call them a mass. We may call them a pack or a mob. There are all kinds of different terms that we would use for this. But here in Mark chapter 3, there was a large crowd. And then there were some disciples. The large crowd were not bad people. In fact, the large crowd were there, I believe, in most cases in the book of Mark, for good things. They were looking in this passage for needs to be met. In fact, in the text you'll read, if you read through or you read through the text, you'll find that they were facing many plagues and they were looking for healing. And the Bible says that Jesus healed many. He met the needs of the multitude. He was interested in the needs of the multitude. In the Gospel of Mark alone, the word multitude appears 16 different times, indicating that Christ was constantly with multitudes of people. But the multitude was not a committed people. The multitude was there to be around the buzz, to find out what's going on, to find out who this person is. Were they bad people? No, they weren't bad people, but they weren't people that we would label as a disciple. And what I want you to get this morning is the difference between the multitudes and the disciples. May I say, Mount Zion Baptist Church, we are not content for believers to just be a part of the multitude. It is our course at our church is set to see believers mature in the faith to where they become disciples of Jesus Christ. But may I remind all of us this morning that all of us at one point in time began as part of the multitude. Every believer here, you may be a committed believer, you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you may be serious about following Christ, but may I remind you this morning that when you began in this thing of learning God's Word and hearing the gospel of Christ and learning who Jesus is, you began as part of the multitude. That is, you were focused on a need that He could meet for you. May I say this to our church? We ought to be interested in the multitudes. We ought to be interested in seeing multitudes come to this church. We ought to be interested in the unchurched. We ought to be interested in the unsaved. We ought to be interested in the people in our area that do not know Jesus Christ. And we ought to work to gather them in. The multitudes came around Christ, and He didn't turn the multitudes away. Rather, He met the needs that were present in the multitudes. In the month of May, we're having a friend day, the first Sunday in May, May 7th. And that friend day is to help gather the multitudes. And you have people that you can work to get here under the sound of the gospel. We ought to be reaching the multitudes. This coming Thursday and Saturday, we're going into York to reach multitudes, to get information into their hands and on their doors so that they can hear about the church, so that they can become part of a multitude that gets out and hears the gospel. The multitudes. But a Christian ought not to be content to be part of the multitude. A Christian, once you're saved, you ought to be moving from the multitude to what Jesus can do for you, to be moving to the disciple, to what you can do for Jesus, to what you can give for Christ. The goal of the message this morning is twofold: to challenge believers about becoming a disciple, and to challenge disciples to not drift to becoming part of the multitude. I want you to look at the definition of a disciple first. The definition of a disciple. The word disciple, and it's used throughout our New Testament, the word disciple means learner. It means somebody that is a student. It is someone who follows and practices the teaching of another. When they became disciples of Christ, they set their hearts on following the Master and practicing what He taught and imitating Him in their lives. When applied to Christ, a disciple is someone who learns from Him and lives like Him. A disciple is one who is committed to following Christ. Multitudes come to see what they can get. In Mark chapter 3, the multitudes came because they wanted Jesus to do something special. In fact, the Bible says of these multitudes that they were going after Christ. I can see them pushing and shuffling and trying to make their way just to touch Christ because they had a physical need that they believed that Jesus could heal. They were interested in what Jesus could do for them. That is a multitude. But a disciple, the disciples were committed to following Christ at all costs. Being a disciple means commitment. That's important. That's important for every believer under the sound of my voice. If you are going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are going to have to be a committed person to Christ. Being a disciple means your relationship to Christ is all-encompassing. It affects every area of your life. The disciples were there with the crowds, and I want you to know they were there after the crowds left. They were there. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the crowds came, and then Jesus withdrew to a mountain and He called some to come with Him, and they came. He was around the multitudes. There was lots going on. There was lots of hype. There were miracles taking place. But after the big event was over, after the big shindig was over, the disciples were still there. You know what I find in a lot of Christian lives today? People that like to show up for the big things. People that like to show up for the fun things. But not people that stick with it after all that's done. Could I ask you a question this morning? If Mount Zion took away all of our activities, stopped camp and stopped VBS and stopped picnics and stopped youth activities, would you still come to church? Would you still come to this church? Those are wonderful things that we can have as far as fellowship. But brethren, those things don't build disciples. Those things gather multitudes. But the Word of God and our commitment to follow Christ is what builds a disciple of Jesus Christ. And our church is really not about all those things, and we have lots of those things. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can be around Christians a lot in our church. But when all those things are over, there's still church on Sunday morning. And there's still church on Sunday night. And there's still church on Wednesday night. And there's still witnessing opportunities. And that is church. That's where disciples are built. By those that are committed. Not the multitudes that gather just for all the extra stuff. But the disciples that are there day in and day out. They were with Him when the days got long. And there were some long days. In fact, you remember reading in the Gospels about sometimes the disciples said, send them away. Man, we've been ministering. We're committed, but Lord, this is getting to be a little too much. Lord, we need some time of relaxation. Lord, we need some time of rest. They were there on the long days. They were there in Gethsemane. You see, a disciple is committed no matter what. A disciple of Jesus Christ is committed to following Christ. They were there under His instruction all the time. Where He went, they went. For the multitude, Sunday mornings is fine. It's good enough. But not for the disciple. The disciple understands that every time we have a service, there is something to be gleaned about God. There is something that I've got to learn. There's something that God wants to teach me. I've got to get to church because there's something that God wants to teach me and how to follow Him. God's going to protect me by what I hear today. There are ministries that I must accomplish. There are people that I need to edify. Every church service is important to the disciple. Because they're committed. They're committed people. They've committed to following Christ at all costs. A nominal daily walk with God is okay for the multitude. If I hit it, good. If I have time, good. I'm above average today. If I don't, no big deal. That's a multitude mindset. But that's not a disciple mindset. A disciple is a fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to see how they could tell that these men were disciples of Christ. How can people tell that you are a disciple of Christ? It means commitment. And that commitment requires leaving. It requires leaving. Turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse number 33. This is big time commitment, brethren. This is not something that's casual that I say, oh yeah, I'll do that. Boy, when you commit to become a disciple of Christ, you're making a big time commitment. You're making a commitment to the Lord that you're going to follow Him. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 33, Jesus didn't set the standard way down here. He didn't say, anyone who wants to come, come. Here's what He said in Luke chapter 14, verse number 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Forsaking, leaving means to bid farewell. That's a hard thing to do on some fronts. It's hard to leave. Remember the rich man whom Jesus was speaking to? And he couldn't leave what he had. He left his conversation with Christ sorrowful, the Bible says. Because he could not leave. and being a disciple demands leaving. Jesus said, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because what did Jesus leave? He left all. He left the throne of heaven. He left his Father. He left the comforts of heaven to come to this earth. And what he was saying here is, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot follow me unless you're willing to follow me in this area where I left all. And you must leave all. You say, preacher, you're making it almost impossible to be a Christian. No, I'm preaching what Jesus preached. He said, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. In order for some to be a disciple, it means saying farewell to some friends that are a hindrance to you being committed to Christ. It means saying goodbye. It means saying, I'm changing friendships. I'm changing some relationships in my life so that I can be fully committed to Jesus Christ. Somebody said this, you will be who you are running with. And so it is. If you have connections with people that are part of the multitude, guess what? If you have strong connections there, guess where you're going to be tend to be drawn to? The multitude. If you have connection with disciples, people that are following Christ, people that are fully committed to Jesus Christ, they are serious about obeying Christ, they are committed to following Him thick and thin, guess what you're going to tend to be like? The people that you run with. And some, in order to be a disciple, what leaving means for you is leaving some friends that are not committed to Christ. And that's a tough call. That's a tough decision. But discipleship, being a disciple, requires leaving. For some, forsaking means leaving a Sunday activity behind in order to follow Christ. It means that, and that's hard. We get connected to things. We like things. We build our schedules around things. But if I'm going to follow Christ, then my Sundays have to change. They have to change. For some, it means bidding farewell to family. That's a really hard one. There are some in this church who have done that. Their family has basically excommunicated them, treats them as though they don't exist because of their faith. They had to leave. Say, preacher, that's hard. Yes, that's what I'm trying to get across this morning. Discipleship means commitment. Being a disciple of Christ and moving from the multitude to a disciple means that there are some tough decisions that have to be made. For others, it may mean leaving America. It was for Pastor Bill and Marcia. Leave America. Leave home. Leave what you've known. Leave friends. Leave family. And go on the other side of the world. But he says, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. For some, it may mean leaving in order to go to Bible college. Some have done that. Maybe others, God's going to work in your life in that matter. Forsaking may mean leaving some old appetites behind, such as country music or rock and roll or Christian contemporary music. In order to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, it requires leaving. It may mean leaving old habits like drinking or smoking or pornography behind. Can I ask you a question? If Jesus took inventory of your life today and he was looking at what you have left, what would he find? Or if he took inventory of your life today and sat down and had an interview with you and said, I want you to be a disciple of mine. But in order to be a disciple, here's what you must leave. And he starts naming things. Would you leave the interview saying, thank you for the interview, but no thank you? Or would you leave the interview saying, Lord, whatever you say. God, whatever you touch. Being a disciple, a follower of Christ, means more to me than anything. There's a difference between the multitude and the disciple. I think of those who have left other religions to follow Christ. I think of those who have left comfortable jobs to go into the ministry. Being a disciple is not a small commitment. It means everything. But while being a disciple means leaving, it also means bearing. It also means bearing. Look at Luke 14 and look at verse number 27. This commitment is revealed by what you leave, but it's also revealed by what you bear. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I want you to think of some of the things that disciples bore in Jesus' day. Number one, they bore the cross of rebuke at times from Christ Himself. If you're going to be a disciple, then there are times where Jesus is going to meddle with your life. That's part of being a disciple. That's part of Jesus taking the Word of God and by the Spirit of God working in your life and saying, this has to change in your life. Boy, there are times where Jesus rebuked His disciples. I mean, He spoke straightforward to them. I mean, He meddled in their lives. I mean, He told them they were wrong. That's a cross. That's hard to receive. These disciples bore the cross of persecution and execution. These disciples had to endure the storm on the sea. These disciples bore the cross of failure at times. They bore the cross of being faithless when they should have been faithful. They bore the cross of opposition. Oh, listen to me. Being a disciple is no small commitment. It's a heavy commitment. But I believe that there could be some that are kind of living in the multitude mentality that God is wanting to say, will you be my disciple? Will you come apart? Will you come with me? Will you amp up your commitment? Will you be willing to leave some things? Will you be willing to bear some crosses? In order to follow me. In the passage, there's multitudes and there's disciples. Kyle Eidelman, in his book called Not a Fan, says this: it may seem that there are many followers of Christ, but if they were honestly to define the relationship they have with Him, I am not sure it would be accurate to describe them as followers. It seems to me that there is a more suitable word to describe them. They are not followers of Jesus. They are fans of Jesus. My concern is that many of our churches in America have gone from being sanctuaries to becoming stadiums. Every week, all the fans come to the stadium where they cheer for Jesus, but really have no interest in following Him. One of the biggest threats to the church today are fans that call themselves Christians, but really have no intent on following Christ, leaving anything, bearing anything, not having any commitment. Which would you be labeled by Jesus this morning? A fan or a follower? What were the objects of their commitment? They were committed to a person. They were committed to be with Him day in and day out. They were committed to one another. They were committed to the assembly. We call it the church today. They were committed to the mission of evangelizing and making disciples. These were their commitments. These were the things that were unmovable in their lives. These were the stakes that they drove down and said, I will keep these commitments to Christ. Discipleship requires commitment, but it also means companionship. Go back to our text, Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, but Jesus withdrew Himself, and the phrase is, with His disciples. In verse number 7, He withdrew Himself with His disciples. In verse number 14, and He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach. Disciples of Christ must spend time with Christ. Multitudes show up for the big occasions. Multitudes come to find out what can be done for them. But disciples are with Christ. They spend time with Christ. There's companionship. Could it be that you come to church and you enjoy the gathering? You're interested to hear the latest updates, the news. But when the event is over, you leave and experience no companionship with Christ throughout the rest of the week. I want to be kind to you this morning, but I want to be direct. You're part of the multitude. And God wants you to be a disciple. And it begins with commitment and companionship. They were with Him. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls." The key to following Him was being with Him. It's hard to follow someone you don't know. It's difficult to imitate someone you don't know. I'm a firm believer that God wants to work in believers' hearts and is saying, spend some time with me. Take some time with me. Become my companion. Be with me. I was moved as we walked up the hill and came to the site of the temple in Dan over in Israel. It was there that Jeroboam built a temple for the people to offer sacrifices and worship. However, God had told His people to worship in Shiloh. But they constructed a temple in Dan for the purpose of convenience. Why? Because life was more about them than it was about God. And brethren, the multitude is interested in convenience. But the disciple is interested in commitment. There's a difference. The description of the multitude. What is the multitude like? The multitude is a people that I think is illustrated by this illustration. There was a hen and pig discussing the farmer's upcoming birthday. The hen suggested it would be nice if they gave him some bacon and eggs for breakfast. The pig thought for a moment and said, "There's only one thing wrong with giving him bacon and eggs. For you, chicken, it only requires a contribution. But for me, it requires total commitment." The crowd's okay. The multitude's okay with giving a contribution. Just not making commitments. The multitude's interested in the spectacular and the sensational. They're curious. The multitude enjoys the Sunday morning message, the music, but are unmovable as far as making a decision for Christ or making a greater commitment for Christ. The multitude, though unpredictable and undependable, shows up on occasions. The multitude is like someone following a fire truck. We want to see what's going on, but only from a distance. Don't ask me to put the fire out. I'm not going into a burning house. I'm a bystander. I'm just curious. And may I say, our churches are filling up with them. And it's okay to be in the multitude until you come to Christ. But when you come to Christ, it's time to move from the multitude to becoming a disciple of Christ, to being fully committed. The multitude has many masters, but the disciple has one master. When it comes to living a life of worth and significance, the primary question for each of us isn't, am I committed, but rather, what am I committed to? Matthew 6 says, no man can serve two masters. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and have multiple masters in your life. You must have one. The difference, and I close. What's the difference, preacher, in the outcome with the multitude and the disciples? The difference, I think, is found in verses 14 and 15 of Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I want you to remember this. The multitude didn't turn the world upside down. The disciples did. The multitude didn't hold the church together. the disciples did. The multitude, though they saw miracles, they didn't get to be a part of the miracles and being used by God to change the lives of people. The disciples did. Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. The difference is that the heartbeat of Jesus becomes the heartbeat of a disciple. And the heartbeat of Jesus is to change lives by His power. The heartbeat of Jesus is for people to hear the gospel of Christ and to become disciples. And so that disciples make disciples. Multitudes don't make multitudes. But disciples make disciples. Fully committed believers have something that others want. There's difference. If I could challenge you this morning, I would challenge you to consider, which group do you land in? Because everybody here lands in one. You're either in the multitude. And by the way, I'm not saying the multitude's bad this morning. I'm saying if you're saved and you're still in the multitude, God wants you as a disciple. God wants you to move from a multitude to a smaller group called the disciples. There are many in the multitudes. There are few who are disciples. Where are you at?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,